Okay, so this is the August meeting of the Morgan County Ogden Valley Rural Planning Organization. It's for 10 p.m. So each of you has an agenda in front of you. And so let's just get started with introductions. This is Julie Bjornstedt of the Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Robert Kilmer, Morgan County Council.
John Lewis, resident
citizen.
Holland Wilbanks, representing Commissioner Jenkins.
Charles Ewart, Weaver County Planning.
Ty Bailey, Morgan City, representing the city.
Mayor Little.
Mayor Little?
Yeah, that's a holiday. Okay.
Well, hello, Charlie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm just so used to you always being, I'm not used to being somebody else.
So. I was going to tell you, your superhero shirt is awesome.
You like that?
Yeah,
Gina came up with that, I want you to know.
I love it.
That was last year's fair shirt.
You already have sheep on you.
I bet we're setting up.
Is it a goat?
She was the fair president last year.
Okay.
And she designed these shirts.
That's cool.
And this is what we did last year.
That's funny.
And I didn't want to just keep wearing the same shirt every day, so I used last year's and the year before.
Cycle it up.
Yeah.
Cool.
So today we don't have our chair or vice chair with us.
Let's adjourn.
I'll just go ahead and go through the agenda. The first action item is the approval of the May meeting minutes. I don't know if any of you want a copy of those. One of you needs to make a motion to approve or to alter.
I make a motion to approve.
Was anybody there?
I wasn't at that
one.
So the main meeting, so in June, we didn't have a quorum, so we didn't approve these, and we didn't have official meeting minutes. So this is the meeting prior to that, when we were in here.
I will second it then. I was at that one.
And then all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No.
That's when you hit that.
Okay, so the first thing I wanted to, there's no public here, so we can close the opportunity for public comment. So Commissioner Ebert, who is our chair, is no longer part of the committee. He's reassigned those duties to Commissioner Jenkins. And therefore, we need to talk about how you want to handle that. If you want Commissioner Jenkins to automatically assume chairmanship, if you want Daryl Rupp, who's the vice chair, to be the new chair, or if you want to elect a new chair. This wasn't in the bylaws. I don't actually know how to handle the situation other than asking you guys.
So I think Jenkins should just assume it, because it was also, wasn't it set up that it would alternate between?
No, it was just elected on that one.
Yeah, and Ty, I think that's a good suggestion, but we also have to think Daryl's has a little bit more history with this, so maybe it makes sense to have him assume the role at this point, since Jenkins doesn't have any background yet on this committee and all that we're doing.
Let's just keep it Commissioner Ebert. Call him until I'm still on.
You can't leave. either way.
So what are the options?
So the options are either, these aren't in the bylaws, so these are just the options I'm making up, so let me know if there's another option. Either reappoint somebody else for chair and Daryl stays vice chair, that Daryl becomes chair and you elect a new vice chair, or that you just appoint Jenkins to the chair, since that was like Weaver County Commissioner would just remain the chair and then Daryl would remain the vice chair.
Role of the chair is to
basically run the meeting.
So maybe vice chair to chair?
But there's no additional, there's no setting the agenda responsibilities or.
Well.
Yes and no. Julie does all the work.
Julie does all
the
work and no one would.
Yeah. Ideally, the chair would do that.
It's two responsibilities. Conduct meetings in accordance with the bylaws and appoint with concurrence of the RPO, the chair of any committee not established by the original bylaws.
Right. And so, Commissioner Ebert was obviously quite busy, so.
Seems like I have to go to somebody who has some experience versus starting over.
I'm fine if we just
And then we need to appoint a new vice chair.
Mm-hmm.
I appoint John Lewis.
No.
You've got the best attendance.
Why? I hope that's not the case.
Outside of Julie, you have the best attendance really? On this. I believe you do.
I think actually Mayor Little does.
Well, okay, Mayor Little.
Yeah. No, he would make a great vice chair.
And I'm not opposed to nominating people.
So can we do that while they're not here?
He does. That's he does seem really weird. Yeah.
I thought that was the rule, nominated when they're not
that's
here.
That's right. All right.
Actually, his representative, I should volunteer.
There you go. I'll nominate Ray Little.
Okay. Anyone want to second that? Nominating Mayor Little?
I'll second that.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is.
Sure.
And all in.
He's not going to
Neither will Jenkins.
No one's opposed.
All right.
Okay, any opposed?
Get the goat thing.
No? Okay. So, Daryl Rupp will be the chair and Mayor Little will be the vice chair. Okay. All right. So then we'll get started with the actual meat of the meeting. So I'll go ahead and release Memso. I put the public open house summary, changes to the project list, goals, criteria, and winning as three separate items, but we'll kind of do them all together like we did at the technical committee. I'm going to hang them over here, I guess. So, thank you for those of you who came.
Oh, how did that go?
Is that anybody? Anybody here?
Yeah, Ty came. I didn't mean it that way.
Thank you to those of us who came and you were the only one who came.
My reminder went off to get here, but I was up to my elbows in concrete, so I didn't make it.
You dropped like,
so what? They went well.
I think that's what I was in Scotland.
Were you at the last planning commission in Geauga Valley?
No, I was in Scotland. It was 10 days. It covered a lot.
How was that?
That was great.
I bet.
Huntsville had about 35 people. And I think Morgan had about 15 of people who like weren't you guys. It might have been slightly different. That's who signed in. So some people obviously don't sign in. So yeah, I thought it was pretty good attendance considering it's not a controversial topic yet and not a lot of people come to open house.
Yeah, I'm surprised only 35. And
well, that's all that signed in.
Okay.
How many did you say, Morgan?
That's like 15, I think. I thought a good turnout.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comments, a lot
I was gonna say, in good side discussions.
Yeah.
So it didn't flow like I thought it was going to, but the groups that were there all kind of paired off with somebody because we had the mayor there and Mike Kendall, councilman, was there.
Mm-hmm.
The planner, Lance was there, and so it was.
Yeah.
Like little conversations going on about what's going on in the county. So.
And usually you don't get very many written comments, and we got a lot of written comments.
Oh.
Like on the sheets, mm-hmm. probably that thick. So I didn't actually double check to make sure everyone who gave me a written comment also signed in. So that's why I'm saying it's like roughly 50 people. So one of the things we asked them to do was these are their goals and put their top three priorities for each of the goals. So we kind of get a sense of what the citizens wanted to prioritize and compare that to what the technical committee had said. This is Morgan and that's Weaver. So you can see that there's a little bit of difference between what Morgan and Weaver prioritize in terms of the citizens. So if you go to the third page of the handout I handed out, you'll see on the bottom how Morgan and Ogden Valley publicly. So in Morgan, the ones that they prioritized the most were maintenance and corridor preservation and access to jobs and businesses. And then Ogden Valley, the highest priorities were safety, maintenance, and quarter preservation, and active transportation. So there's a little bit of...
What was dialogued in terms of corridor preservation?
I think it was more the maintenance part of that. And so that was some of what they wrote on the written comments is on this sheet that we'll go over in a second. But mostly that was just maintaining the road system. There was a comment, one of the comments was there's a lot of trucks and recreation vehicles that come up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one person who commented about it just said that the way that road maintenance is done, it's like a quick fix. And then these heavy trucks and these heavy recreation vehicles come, and then the maintenance only lasts for a year or two. And so they just wanted to do something that was better than that. And then there was a question about whether, like, how do you pave roads that make it still feel rural?
Right.
So what we did with the technical committee was we had already gone through and weighted the goals based on what staff recommended. And then when we were meeting with the technical committee a couple days ago, we noticed originally in one of our previous meetings, we had said that we would combine the weighing for the two counties because everyone was in this together. But then when we looked further about what both the staff said and what the public said, it seemed like the two areas had slightly different priorities. And so you can kind of see I broke that down in the bottom there.
Hey, can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
So, and I wasn't there. I wish I had been. I apologize. But when you say preserve future corridors, did you put that up and have people put stickers on it before you got to talking about what it really meant? Or was there a lot of discussion about what that meant first?
No, we didn't have, yes. And
I'm surprised by the 33%.
Well, that my guess is they're not thinking what you're thinking.
I'm
all my neighbors are going, well, we got to preserve the view corridor. And you're thinking we have to keep the roads working well down that straight road. Is that what you're saying?
Well, preserving future corridors mostly means like planning for the future and then not building in those corridors. So if you know a new road's going to go in or a new trail's going to go in.
It's definitely the opposite of what the public told us during the general
plan
process.
That might be, or they might have been focusing on the maintenance because I didn't hear any conversations in Huntsville about the core preservation aspect.
Just maintenance, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if a whole bunch of people voted for that as being a big deal, they probably didn't have any, they weren't thinking maintenance or I'll bet you anything they were thinking, we want to make sure it stays open and there's nothing built along this. That's very, okay. That's
one of the comments.
Anything, Charlie?
Yeah, if you see, I mean, Holland and I, when we rated this, we put zero weight on that one. And
if you're talking maintenance.
This looks like maintenance or corridor preservation. We'll put zero weight on that based on what we've talked about.
Corridor preservation in terms of the view and the look,
that's high.
100% to that.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
all right. Just wanted to clarify that.
In our group, we did have someone that was confused by the way that was worded. So it says maintain existing infrastructure and preserve future corridor, so it's like, is this past or present? Like you're maintaining the future. So like, I don't remember what the conclusion was, but I remember them.
Like maintaining future roads.
Yeah, that's it, right? So is it maintenance or is it?
Preservation.
Maintaining the future, so it was.
Or maintaining the corridors.
So anyway, my point was is that
exactly.
I think that
yeah,
there
was
confusion
clear,
about
maybe
if you're a transportation person or a planner, it means something versus if you're maybe
lifestyle or what am I gonna
okay.
next to?
So I'm something to, I think whoever I stand
it's
by
hard to distill something down into five words.
But whoever it was asking about a certain project.
Well,
so they
yeah.
said if this is something I want done, where do I put my dots? And that's why I remember they asked about that. As so does that help or hinder the projects? Remember how they were doing more not just tell us what's important to you. He's like we had a guy that was thinking he was voting for a project instead of just saying this is my priority.
Oh, okay.
So he was
because the project page was up too, so he could
right. He went over the project and saying, "Well, if I want this, then does that help or does it?" And it was that one didn't really influence the outcome of the project, but he did ask the question, so I know it was a little confusing, but. Anyway,
sorry to digress.
No, it's fine.
That's really
what
important.
What are they thinking? 33%.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of variance you could see between what the technical committee and the public weighing was.
Well, not,
I was joking with these guys that Morgan, yeah, I was going to say Morgan was pretty good.
Seemed to be in tune with the public.
So maybe you can land the pay raise. Yeah, and then in Ogden Valley, there's a little bit. There's a little bit. So I provided this in this way because when we had met before, we talked about combining it. And so I took the average, the recommendation is sort of based on the average of what the technical committee said in the public weighing. And then when we were meeting yesterday with the technical committee, we talked about maybe there was enough difference that we separate out that weighing by county. And so I presented that to you here. The recommendation from the technical committee is to separate based on the recommendation you see on the bottom two tables. And I just need it. We want to talk about it with this group and then come to a conclusion.
However, that recommendation was not with hesitancy because the numbers, except for a couple categories, were fairly similar. And it was just the last two, provide access to recreation and safety accommodation to active safely accommodate active transportation, which were weighted a lot differently between Morgan and the Upper Valley. The rest were 3 to 5 percentage points off. So the numbers didn't shake out that differently.
And based on the technical committee or based on public?
Technical committee versus what the public said in each county. And then Julie averaged them all up. And so the numbers that you're looking at, you can see what the technical committee said and then which county said what. And how it meant the importance on how we score things. And, you know, I think, John, you can probably weigh in on this. Like, if the, I would assume the Ogden Upper Valley looks at infrastructure projects differently than Morgan County does.
Yeah.
So do we score it differently on a project basis?
You mean based on location?
Yeah, yeah.
I think you absolutely do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's where we landed, but there was a lot of discussion about it because in a lot of places the numbers weren't all that far apart. But I think there might be different goals overall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm slightly disheartened by this provide access to recreation because I'm pretty sure we heard that to be one of the biggest things. Trailheads and
Weber County, it was what, 20?
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense based on the comments and the projects that they would.
But in Morgan County, it was 5.
Right. So in Weber, I would think that would be more important.
Which one are we looking at over there? So provide,
this is Morgan.
Provide access to recreation, but when they went and voted, it was provide access to regional recreation opportunities.
But Ty had a great point because if you're talking to your local citizens, they have easy access. If they want to recreate, they're here. They're on the river. They're in at Snow Basin and you know, 14 minutes. And so that's not an issue for them. Mm-hmm. But for a tourist or someone coming from another county, it's different.
Well, all my neighbors are interested in having access to recreation. But if you ask them a stranger sentence like, do you want access to regional opportunities, they might get thrown off by, what are you asking exactly? I don't know.
Terms of prioritizing these five, if they, you know, couldn't give 100% to all of them, do they feel like they have adequate access to recreation now?
Probably.
So maybe they wouldn't score
very high. It's just been important to them. Yeah.
Is why they're there, but once you're there, or you're asking the public and you say, what are your priorities? And that almost says, like, not provide, but create better or new access. So in the ranking, it's like, well, I already have access to
maybe that's what they're thinking.
Yeah, it's not an issue.
It's important, but
not important to get more.
So a transportation planner might look at that and say, no, that's important. But for most people that are already here, it's like,
but if you're coming from
access, it's
out of state, or even if you're in Park City and you're like, I don't want to face the crowds of Park City, I want to
just ski. Just in downtown.
Yeah, then it's probably a little bit different mindset.
The way,
you know, the way the Wasatch Front views us is probably a lot different than...
Yeah. Than the local.
Yeah, they want to make sure they still have access, but it's like, yeah.
Yep, I would agree.
And I think that may be one of the biggest differences between the two valleys is the residents in Ogden Valley would probably have a similar response, like, well, you know. But Weber County as a whole, Ogden Valley is the recreational cash cow for, you know, for the economic development plan.
Well, that's, I think that's also part of having a county that has both. So right. Our entire county
sides
here.
Of the
so
mm-hmm.
to identify your entire county as a recreation center is, you know, we have the city center. I mean, we have
commercial
our county
street.
Seat, and everything is here. So it's still we're still focused on an economy, jobs, yeah. the whole yeah. thing. And so identity wise, it is I think way different.
Big difference.
Okay, so we'll have them separate. And then, how do you guys feel about the actual recommendations?
The weight?
The weights.
I'm sorry I wasn't at the meeting. I feel now like I should have. Looking at some of the responses, I'd like to hear kind of what was in their minds as they were. Do you have the written comments?
Yeah, so we can go through that.
The written comments
first,
support?
Yeah. So let's go through that first, and then I'll roll the map out, and you can see some of the project comments, and then we can come back to this. So it's in the second sheet. These are the written comments, and I just try to classify them based on the goals that we had. So for safety, of course, there's the boat ramp entrance, safety at Wolf Creek Golf Course, which is at the tunnel location, mostly. There's a lot of talk about people parking in Huntsville on shoulders and crossing roads to get to either the city or trails or recreation.
Access to recreation. This is yes. What I would categorize as access yeah. to recreation. Okay.
I think they were probably classifying it as safety.
But safety. Yeah.
I mean, that's where I put it.
Yeah. I've got it.
I don't know exactly what the safety issues from 500 South along yes. 7100 East yep. are specifically.
Hey, thank you.
And there's a handful of locations in Morgan about safety, mostly relating to the school locations and access to and from schools. And then the street lights, which I put as safety because I think that's where the mayor was coming from, they did not like. So we'll remove that project from.
I'm just glad all those things on safety in Morgan were all ties. It's all your roads.
Oh, ties. Yeah. Sorry.
Is that a win or a loss? Just a tie.
I think your ratios on Ogden Valley, I think the technical committee got it, in my opinion, more accurate than the public way. I, you know, you want my opinion.
Who wrote that general plan?
Whichever.
Alan? Okay. Well, let's keep going through this and then come back, and maybe that's the conversation in Ogden Valley that we just stick with the technical committee. I mean, so then, again, Huntsville wants no traffic lights. There was a number of comments about the interchange in Mountain Green. They're not grouped together, but there was like three of them, I think, that it was important for them to move that interchange. There was a...
What? I'm sorry. On the...
We're in mobility efficiency.
Yeah, on the third one down.
We'd love to see a small valley shuttle bus.
Is that, who was that?
This has got to be Ogden Valley.
Valley.
Okay. It's got to be Ogden Valley.
So the Mountain Green interchange is important. It's very important.
It was me for safety.
Yes, thanks. I'm just saying.
The school
we don't want people driving themselves.
The school district would benefit from a bridge on Young Street.
That's a tie.
The roundabout in Huntsville, and so there was a lot of conversation about whether it should be roundabout, whether it should be stop signs. This is my favorite.
Somebody said traffic light rather than roundabout, huh? Need to comment.
Yeah, and actually my favorite comment I think was about that one, but I didn't write the whole comment. I was kind of trying to shorten them for you guys.
That second bullet.
I spent 10 days driving around England and Scotland a couple weeks ago. I'm done with roundabouts, man.
But this one, the person...
That was horrible.
said that it was like this intersection was very important because it was by the schools and it was by the place where all the kids go to get ice cream.
Wait, who said that?
And it was on the actual written comment, which I don't have.
These are distilled.
Yeah, comments. A little bit, yeah.
That second bullet point, need to accommodate pedestrians and bikes. Is that what you're talking about for ice cream?
Yeah. Okay. That's so cute.
We're getting crosswalks at the intersection and a trail connection in a couple of months. So.
Yeah. And we'll talk about some of these, if they should be added as projects or not. But I just thought that was so cute that she was like, this is very important. The kids walk here to get ice cream. Okay, and then on the back, there's some comments about how to maintain the rural feel, how to make sure that the infrastructure is meeting with the developments that are coming in, maintenance in Ogden Valley. This person generally said make Northern Ogden Pass better. So I don't know if they thought that was fine with what we're what's on the plan, which is the shoulders and the trails, or if they wanted more than that.
Are these your acronyms? This is Kim Wheatley.
No, I didn't acronym anything. So if there's an acronym, then it was what they wrote. Okay. And then would greatly improve from benefits the I-84 overpass, underpass, and they didn't.
And these were all written by these people that came in.
Uh-huh.
That very first one was just somebody off the street.
Yes.
Yep.
I know who it was.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, he likes acronyms.
Okay.
He emails in acronyms. It's really hard to follow.
It's one of them, huh?
Let me see. I believe I put all of this on the online already, on the drive. So if you're in the folder and you went to public comments.
Even with acronyms, it's one of the longest comments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to spend.
No, I guess I didn't. I scanned it all in.
Did that, right?
The whole point of acronyms is to.
Okay, I didn't put the actual comments. I can put those up. But if you go online, you'll see this, actual boards, and then the feedback from the boards.
Okay.
And I just haven't scanned. I've scanned them and I haven't put them on for you, each individual comment card. So then there was some, we could use ramp funds for improving access to recreation, the tunnel. That's, you can probably guess who that is. Being so important, high priority. And then a lot of people said, you know, more pathways would help in the area. So all of these are basically in favor of pathways except that second one. Paving a bike pathway on Young Street Bridge would help with the school county properties, incorporating with the parks and fairgrounds. And then on Old Trappers Road, and we'll get to some of these in a second, about allowing non-motorized vehicles on Old Trappers Loop and then also on Old Snow Basin Road. So those were the comments that we received.
Let me understand the second comment down under bicycle accommodations. Pathways are not being utilized by bicycles at all. Is that an Ogden Valley comment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I'll go ahead and roll out the.
You have to have pathways. Old Travers Loop Road, do they still use that over there? Do people still use it?
Yeah, we use it more as a cycling path now.
Yeah, so I drove up it yesterday and picked that up.
Is there a gate?
No, Snow Basin. Or maybe I was in the wrong spot, but I thought their watering system for all their farmland was crossing the street.
Oh, you're talking about Travers Loop, New Travers Loop. Not the Old Snow Basin Road. Wait, are you talking about?
Old Trappers.
Well, this one says Old Trappers Loop Road, I didn't know
I'm confused.
So Old Trappers Loop Road is county owned in Weber County, and then locally owned, like by
privately
the residents.
Owned,
yeah, privately owned
in
Morgan.
So even if they have fences, you're allowed to go through it because it's county?
Yeah.
Not when you get to the private part, though, I guess.
Not at the ridge. Don't come
so
down.
So you can't go all the way through.
Right. And so this person's comment was to take back control in Morgan County.
Oh.
And then allow, or at least get an easement or get some kind of agreement with the local property owners to allow bike paths.
That was a property trade. We'll trade you the existing road for land so we can build the new road.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to give it back.
Yeah. So they might
unless Snow Basin develops and then it's part of their plan.
Yes.
But not until then.
Not till then.
You get 50 years.
So we
I
can
think
go
we're
over
down to 45.
Yeah, I know. It's been about 45 now.
Which were, well, We'll come back to this, yeah. So this paving this Forest Service Road up to Avon, and the technical committee, we kind of talked about that and decided that that wasn't something that the group was interested in pursuing.
So whose suggestion was that? It was just a public suggestion?
Yeah, okay. All of these were public suggestions.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know exactly who it
was. Thanks. Just tell him his taxes only are going up for
that. And then we have this already on the plan, a bike path there, and then...
Yeah, we should do, though, I'm looking at our impact fee facilities plan, this bike path should do this business and come up River Road and then cut across.
Okay.
If it needs to be specific on the map. We really just say something from Old 162 River Road and then up to 3300 and then northward on 33.
Do you still want shoulders on where, because it's a shoulders and pathway?
I think shoulders everywhere around the loop.
Okay, and then just move the pathway over to a different alignment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, definitely shoulders along the highway.
Okay. And then again, bike lanes around the reservoir, but that's... part of the plan already. And then this is the section of town where they were saying that there was a safety issue. So between 39, north of 39. One of the gym commanders was telling me that
safety issues
crashes with people backing out of parking, trying to get to parking, and then people crossing.
Oh, that's just people parking trying to get to Middle Fork.
Yes, I don't know what...
they were parking on the side of the road until you put in the parking and walking across the street and getting hit.
Right.
But that's been kind of fixed now.
With the new parking lot.
Although, I drove past the other day and it's all full, and where do you park once it's full?
You don't.
Now you can't.
You go away.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
So, and that's come up a couple times with parking around the reservoir. And so I don't know if that's something that we can write, if you want to recommend that as part of this process of doing a more detailed parking study for the reservoir. I don't
Which
know if that's been done.
Is, we're working on okay. that with the Forest Service, because okay. that's all Forest Service land. And as far as managing, and the problem is there's a limitation of the number of people that can be on the reservoir depending on the water levels. So we have to manage that from a parking standpoint, because once you're at capacity with the boats, then you can't mm-hmm. put more boats. It's a one in, one out, off on situation. So we have to understand, do we want to add parking and how much? Because we don't want to have empty lots sitting where people are like, I could park there, mm-hmm. yet the reservoir is at capacity or the beaches are at capacity. So that's something we're working with the Forest Service actively right now.
So the is that the county,
county
or the
and the Forest Service
and the Pine View Commission
committee? Mm-hmm.
And yeah. When is that study?
Well, there's not like a consultant hired to study it, but we've done we did a survey on usage last Memorial Day, and we're doing another one on a random weekend in August. And just to count numbers, and then where we can expand beach access and where we can expand parking access, the Forest Service is looking at that right now.
Okay.
But they have a different mandate from being the Forest Service and a multi-user, all-user capacity versus, maybe the way the local entities look at it. So we have to kind of take their lead on parking around the reservoir. It's all their land.
Do we want to have it on a list of, to do, a professional study, or would you rather...
I mean, because there's the parking at the reservoir, and then there's the parking that's happening in Huntsville and on...
So I don't want to speak for Mayor Truitt, because they've had a huge... they've worked really hard to manage the parking within the town and, put up... You have to have stickers in your windows, and you have to have this and that to be able okay. to even park in town. So they're working on that at a local level.
Okay.
And in conjunction with the Forest Service around the rest of the reservoir, because at this point the natural behavior around the reservoir is, if there's not a space in a lot, I'm going to go find my own space, whether I park in somebody's front yard or...
Lots of open space up there. Just park the car.
I'm just going to park it somewhere. And so we're having to change that from a safety aspect where, no, you can't just put it in park anywhere you want to.
Okay. And then I think Mayor Truitt was telling me that they were maybe charging for parking both that Pine View and Causey soon?
Possibly. In the next couple years.
Okay. So we'll just leave that to what you guys are already doing then?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so on Old Snow Basin Road, so they just wanted, this person's comments, to maintain the road for active transportation use. Who owns Snow Basin, Old Snow Basin?
Weber County operates and maintains it, but it's closed for vehicles, active landslides on it. Ramp grant was used, executed, and for improvements on it for cyclists. I think we maintain it to probably a satisfactory level.
Yeah.
Okay.
It won't be open for vehicular use.
Yeah, and they didn't want it to be. That was for, wait, yeah. They just wanted it to be non-moving. And then, what does that say, streetlights?
We kind of deleted the whole streetlight thing due to the dark skies.
Yeah.
So we got streetlights, this one person saying that, and an entire community saying no lights, but something. I mean, I don't think the comment should be disregarded.
And so we have a project at that intersection.
Okay.
All right.
I think that's important.
For an
whatever that is.
So yeah, this is a person in Huntsville who was saying to open up Old Trappers for non-motorized use, and then another person in Huntsville was saying open it for motorized use.
And there lies the quandary we have to face every day, isn't it?
Just send them the Snow Basin plan and say,
who was
just,
the second person? Wait.
This was like a more bike. He was like dressed like a in bike
socks.
He was in Hispanic, so you could tell he probably just finished mountain biking. And then this guy was an older gentleman, the motorized use one, who I think probably remembers that road being open and wanting the second valve for when Trapper's Loop gets busy.
Above and beyond the 14% capacity it's at right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we're down to one lane right now.
I was reading the other ones about the track.
It took me a minute to get home last Tuesday.
Just to give you a little bit, when UDOT did all the traffic studies of Old Highway and Trapper's Loop Road, they indicated that all of Snow Basin built out, and they still don't have to change the roads. So they're saying the traffic's so horrible, we got to put in this, we got to do that. And UDOT's saying, you haven't seen nothing. You're not even close to us coming in doing anything with your roads.
Yeah, when we were trying to negotiate for some improvements there with Snow Basin, they said, studies say that you're fine, and we're not putting money into this. It's fine.
Yeah. And if UDOT's saying you're fine, you're probably more than fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to touch either one of those for either recreation or non-motorized use, just because of...
As far as I'm concerned, that's not even a road anymore. That's private access to a private piece of property, and we're not going to even discuss. If that property owner comes to us, we can have the discussion, but we're not going to have that discussion and try and force him into something. Those property owners, I should say. There's multiple property owners.
Yeah.
Okay. And then this person I mentioned, a roundabout at Old Highway and Trappers. So we had some discussion that if, the interchange gets moved to where Trappers is, that's obviously not going to be a roundabout. It would most likely be a signal. And then the question is there an issue there now that needs to be solved prior to an interchange moving? Or
What's the speed limit right there?
45?
45?
40 or 45.
Is there some speed where roundabouts aren't very efficient?
I think it's more capacity.
I'm just saying,
because you can design them for a regular...
it slows traffic without stopping it, but it's more capacity. Once you get at a certain usage volume, then a signal is more efficient than a roundabout.
That's or what I'm saying.
Well, or by lane roundabout. Or
yeah. Road, and the concern is to get out.
So after, you know, UDOT coming in doing studies on that, because there's been requests for lights and stuff there a lot, it's the same thing. You have 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the afternoon that traffic's an issue, and the rest of the day and night, there's no, you don't hesitate. I mean, you might wait for one, two cars, but there are people that if they have to wait for two cars, they are beaten on the steering wheel.
That's true, because they're so moved used out to here never, for, yeah. to not have to right. wait for cars. Right. So you can understand where shifting they're coming expectation. From.
Well, you have to move right next to like three ski resorts.
Yeah.
Right. And guess what?
I actually think that's a good idea once the interchange is in. For like, if you go to Vail, that's you exit and you go through a roundabout mm-hmm. and you can go yeah, all your different. Door. And I know you're sour on them right now, but.
We're going to have Scotland lots of conversations about roundabout coming out. So,
but then it's also not a. Somebody brought them up, and I was shocked to hear the negative.
It's just a
you're
one.
Trying to accommodate different traffic
flows. A four-way traffic flow, right?
Yeah. So you equalize some of the traffic. That's what I'm saying. If you got one and 45 this way, kind of makes.
That's fine. It's just depending on like what the turning movements are. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it would also. And it looks like the distance is fine for queuing, but like on a powder day, you exit here and everyone's going, the only traffic is going to the mountains, then it's all going to get backed up in that one side. So mm-hmm. it's definitely a future consideration, but it's kind of that same discussion we had the other day with Nordic Valley without the expansion or without the interchange. And it seems like the Morgan guys agree that that's not really an issue at this point.
And so there's the, I've mentioned this before, the travel demand model for the statewide plan, and it's being calibrated since we're going to a new horizon year now, where it used to be 2040 and now it's 2050, and that model is not done being calibrated. But I'm checking in like every week with the guy. So as soon as that's done, we'll see the results from Morgan and in Ogden Valley and see if there's any issues with what the model is saying there's where traffic is a concern. So we'll see if these roads are over capacity or having delay issues or anything.
And the school might change that too. I mean, you're about to put a whole bunch of parents dropping kids off at the new school.
Yeah, but they are putting the access over. They're creating a whole new road off of Trappers.
But still, you have to get access Trappers from old highway.
Yes.
So that's.
But the school would have had a traffic impact study.
Yeah, they did.
Well, and if you use today's numbers, there's no major.
But they would have had to look at the future
impact. Yeah.
So I don't. Do you guys have a copy of that?
Considering a new interchange.
What I'm saying is that most of that traffic is going to come from this side. And they won't go through that intersection. They'll hit the new road up to the school.
That's
and then
true, because they won't come from
the older from part of Mountain Green, then, west of it. That demographic doesn't have that age group as much. There's some, mm-hmm. but that's an aging part of the community. And so they're not going to have that kind of traffic demand from that side.
It's a different kind of school.
Most of it's this other side.
Did you see you get your floating bridge across the dam?
Nope, somebody write floating bridge on it?
No, but that's
you want a floating bridge across the dam?
Yes, he does.
Write it down.
Write it on there.
That's how you're going to expand the dam, huh?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so this person is saying bike lanes along
Morgan Valley Drive. Old Highway and Morgan
Valley. Oh, that's Valley. What that is. It's like acronym.
It took me a minute to figure it out, too.
Old Highway and Morgan Valley Drive would improve traffic flow and safety for both drivers and bicyclists. I would love to not drive to Davis County. I would love to not drive to Davis County to ride my... Oh, okay.
That is the only person in the country that drives outside of Morgan County to ride their bike.
Right. The Morgan
Valley Drive. Everybody else comes here to ride their bike.
No kidding.
Because I lived in the Morgan Valley Drive. And
a lot of bikes.
Holy crap. It is getting... It's so bad now. But they won't use a bike lane. These bikers take the entire road. They're four and five across.
They're only allowed to ride two abreast, technically.
What's that?
Yeah, it's true. You gotta have your Peloton.
But that has to be right? enforced for it to matter.
The what?
The law has to be enforced for it to matter.
Or they just can be good stewards of the road and not make life hell for the rest of us bicyclists.
You can tell some of them are really into it because they all have the matching jerseys.
Oh yeah, that's Holland.
Account.
Don't be a hater. I don't cycle. I run mountains. I'm not running on Morgan Valley, but drive.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's what would shock you is how many are coming from Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
They're not driving up here.
Yeah.
They're coming up over Big Mountain and doing that 100-mile loop and going back.
It's a big challenge. That's so much traffic.
It is nuts. And it's, there's times when you can't get a break in the bicyclists. But again, they aren't using, they won't use a bike lane.
Do you think they would use a shoulder? Like if it was like not just 2 feet, but if it was...
The locals that are out, they get home from work and they go jump on their bike, mm-hmm. yes, they would do that. These guys that are coming in from outside the community, they're in big groups and they spread out alongside each other and have conversations the whole time they're going. And when you come up behind them, they don't, doesn't matter if they're blocking the entire road both directions, they do not move out of the way until a car is coming in the opposite direction.
Hmm. You should run over a few more cyclists.
Get the word out.
Bump that back wheel.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah, you guys talk about leaving the bike lane.
Seriously.
Whatever it means, didn't you guys talk about there being a bike lane that you made too that the cyclists don't use?
Well, that's a comment that somebody made, and it's a side path, not a bike lane.
Oh.
So yeah, we got the Pine View Loop path, but it wasn't designed for cyclists. I think that's the big. There's a lot of misunderstanding of why.
I think
the cyclists
if you build a path, people are going to walk on it.
Yeah.
I think the cyclists would rather deal with cars than pedestrians.
Yeah.
And that's what you'll have. And then if you try and force the cyclists over there, now you're going to have the pedestrians and the cyclists fighting each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that
cyclists can hold 35, 40 miles an hour, 50 on a downhill, and you don't want mama's stroller on the same
that's
facility
right.
as
come
that.
Around a corner and wipe out a little kid.
Right.
So we have some more support for bike lanes and pathways.
And really where that's coming from is the number of bikers we have, the idea that if we put a bike lane in, that'll clear the roads up. And it's just not, that's not reality.
Right.
I wish it was, because I'd push for bike lanes in a second if that would happen. Mm-hmm. But even talking to the bikers, you know, Daryl's a biker. He has no intention of using a bike lane. Right. He wants to be out on the road where he can maintain his speeds. He doesn't have to worry about walkers, nobody on a horse coming by.
You talking about a separate bike lane, or are you talking about a bike lane on the shoulder?
Okay. Now, I think if they have a bike lane on the shoulder, Daryl's one that would use it because he goes by himself.
He's a little bit more intelligent than others.
He's going to hang on that shoulder.
He's our chair. He's a lot more intelligent.
Because he's in the middle of
a lot more.
You know, he's hanging on the shoulder. Mike Loveland, you know, he's hanging on the shoulder. When he goes, he might have two, maybe three people with him, but he's a lieutenant at the highway patrol. Right. You guys get behind me and we're going to ride single file.
Yeah.
Two at the most. And he will never violate that. But those aren't the issues. It's not the locals that are the problem.
Right.
It's the people coming in from outside the county that take up the roads and think it's an old country road. We can
do it. Yeah. Nobody's here. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Kind of like the guys that just paid $300,000 for that beat up old farmhouse that the floors caved in on and came out and said, Morgan's a... This is ready to explode. This is an undiscovered treasure. It's like, where have you been? Morgan's been discovered for a long time, pal. Because you remember the big log home down off the hill below my house up there?
Uh-huh.
That is up for sale again for like $1.5
million. Whoa.
And so they saw that. So they figured, this is $1.5 million. So this little old tiny farmhouse built on the side of a hill that's collapsing, mm-hmm. we're going to be able to make a fortune off this. So it went up for tax sale, or not tax sale, but bank repossession. And they paid $287 and put it up for $425.
Did they renovate it at all? Or they just...
No, they cleaned up some of the weeds in the yard by mowing them, and that's all they did.
Oof.
They didn't even wash the windows. And they put it up for that. And I talking to a kid yesterday, and they've dropped it clear down to $350 now. But they just thought that, you know, there are a couple of subcontractors that are now into some money because of the economy. Mm-hmm. They're getting into, they want to speculate on land, and this is their first one. And so they came out here, thought, nobody knows about Morgan. We're going to go buy
this old house, and we're going to make a fortune. They're going to lose their shirts is what they're going to do.
Yeah, it was every other week we'd have somebody coming in saying, I bought this at tax sale. Tell me what I could do. Well, not much. You need 20 acres. And the 20 acres, you got a slipper.
Yeah.
That was always a challenge. The other issue we have with bike lanes, especially in a rural community, is if you don't have enough activity on the shoulder, you just get gravel. And that will push the cyclists out of the lane of travel because that's where, I mean, the tires are keeping that clean. And so either the jurisdiction has to have some kind of a maintenance plan to keep the dirt off the shoulders, or it's not worth having in some cases.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. And then this is the, let's see, maintain Taggart's interchange. Oh. this was basically they wanted another
rest stop,
and you know, it's basically like, this isn't gonna happen.
Shocker.
Wait, did you run all these by UDOT?
Privacier, yeah, the technical committee meeting, yeah.
Okay.
These are, some of these notes are for me, so to look at the Strava data to see where recreation cyclists are in the area.
Well, I can tell you over here, it's this road right there. Mm-hmm. And then from here up,
yeah, well, as I was saying to somebody else about Morgan, I mean, there's really only like three roads that go through the county, so the recreation cyclists are probably going
to
be on 66
Mid-Morgan
Valley or Old Highway, right?
And 66 has killed a few of them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. 66 is narrower than Morgan Valley Drive.
Yes, that's how I go home.
They've got it striped.
You go that way?
Uh-huh.
Where do you live?
I live in Chicago, is it 9th and 9th?
It's faster to go around.
It's 10 minutes faster.
Okay, you've tried it.
To go.
So you go over Big Mountain?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun drive. It's
then beautiful. To go back watch to Ogden, deer. And stress level is like worth the 10 minutes to
absolutely.
Me. At the end of the day, I don't feel like going back through Davis County.
I did that drive for the first few months I was working in Morgan. I lived at the mouth of Immigration Canyon. I just.
So is this just all uphill all the way to the top?
Oh, yes.
And then all downhill all the way down?
Basically, mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if you jump over on Immigration?
Well, right here,
you
when
go
you
back
go
uphill
around
and
this,
come back down.
This right here,
big hill?
You got about 100 feet where you drop down.
Right.
So you got a little bit of downhill.
Yeah. Yeah. But once you get on this, it's up, 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 then down, down, down. And then, but if you want to bounce over to Immigration, there's
gotta
a
go up again.
It's like you
up.
Go down, like you...
There's a junction here that breaks off and goes down Immigration or over here to Mountain Dam.
You would go
there's
up.
So much climbing from here to get to that?
No.
Well,
oh, yeah, there's
it's
one.
A,
there.
It's a little
bit.
Yeah.
And then it goes, and then the downhill is pretty steady. Yeah. It's not like as steep as...
This is like at the hospital or kind of over by
the...
This downhill is similar to Ogden Canyon.
You come
once
out
you're in the canyon,
at the
once
zoo.
Once you're in Immigration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the zoo. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I just live on off of 8th South, so I just... That's already Sunnyside.
How far is it like from here to here?
In terms of time or distance?
Distance. You think, is that?
It's like 40 like, miles, I think, all the way from here to the house. So probably
like 20, 25 miles.
Yeah. There. Are you gonna go ride it?
You should.
I'm not admitting to anything in this. I ride alone, but that's all I'm saying.
See? The lone rider.
I love a good shoulder on my Peloton suck. I don't have anything that matches, I promise.
Identify
cool.
yourself as you don't mind.
It's cool.
We're a Morgan County bog cab, you're fine. Or the superhero.
This is kind of a cool dirt road, the one that goes through to Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
Is it this one?
That one, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
What are you? Are you cycling that, or are you just riding that, or driving that for to like access hikes?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I only drive it if my wife makes me go to Salt Lake for something.
There's because, no access to anything. It's
there's
all sides.
Right at the very
no,
top.
No, sorry, like the whole area. I didn't know.
Yeah, Big Mountain. You have the access to the Great Western Trail. Right at the top. And that's about the only public access there is to anything up there, other than the reservoir itself.
I've gone hiking over there, so I didn't know if you were so familiar with the
river. Oh, yes, so. Yeah, no, when I want to go there, I come clear back down here, and I go up Hardscrabble Canyon right here and come up in and back and down in.
That's a haul.
That's all private, and my daughter is now marrying the grandson of the guy that owns half of it.
That's a bummer.
So I hope I get access now.
Why would you let her do that?
Sounds like you made her.
Sounds like we all just got access.
I actually did not.
I think you have
a bylaw. All of a sudden, John, you want a new bike and route?
Yeah, all of a sudden, he got real interested. Who's this guy?
So,
oh,
this is a note for me to look at the Ogden Valley General Plan and just make sure we're consistent. And then I talked with the environmental guy.
I paid someone to put that note on there.
So it's probably Miranda. I paid someone to. Sorry, I talked with UDOT today about getting this report. And so this is from the DNR. She was concerned about wildlife vehicle collisions. And so I'll touch base with UDOT Environmental to get access to this database they have of these locations.
What's the objective?
She was just saying anytime you're improving a road, they try to look for opportunities to reduce these vehicle wildlife crashes. So you'll see that like they're doing some improvements on I-80, they're putting a new bridge in.
Yeah, that's I'm wondering if that's the objective.
Not just that, but she was saying, you know, for the Young Street Bridge, to make sure that anytime you're putting like a bridge in, you're not impacting like spawning areas or egg laying areas for fish.
Pam Kramer?
Probably, I don't know.
Well, tell them about the app that UDOT has.
Yeah, so they have this database that has all of the vehicle collisions. And she was saying that the three up here that were really big were Taggart's, Trapper's, and on SR-39 there was a lot of collisions. She didn't know what animal, but Trapper's was moose. And so she was saying like the mitigations you could do, overpasses, underpasses, escape ramps, or fencing. And so to just look at that and be cognizant of the
escape ramps. They were like runaway truck ramps.
Signs to save moose.
I think that they're like
the deer crossing.
Yeah. So the deer know where to cross.
That's right.
In an area maybe that where there is, if it's deer in a canyon or something, that there would be like areas where it's not just a wall where they could get out if they found themselves in the road or something.
Oh, animal escape route.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that data is also good because it could also help fund project. It might not be our intent to do something, but it seems like a lot of the projects that are getting funded have some help from DNR.
Well, one big one right now, I know that.
And so, yeah, you look at it and you're like, are you kidding me? We're...
But what's the big one?
The Lost Creek Road.
Oh.
Between state parks, federal fish and wildlife, and
it's pronounced
the
Crick,
state legislature. Okay.
Lost Creek Road.
That they have given us they've given us $1 million and then the county threw in $500,000. So we, in probably the end of next week, first of the week after, we are starting to redo that entire road to Lost Creek.
And are you just like doing preservation? Are you shoulder?
We're paving the road.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think his point is that it's like not typical transportation funding.
Right.
People that are pitching into
zero
just
that
to
is
help make it a
transportation funding.
Blue ribbon fishery. And
yep.
So that, I just think that data could, it sounds odd, but if there's a project that, like when we go through safety and all of that, if there's that identified, I think it also helps us identify maybe potential funding sources that not just going straight to the UDOT.
Right.
Thing, so could be good.
That's not dark skies again. And then this is, I was telling this guy was just giving me the inside scoop about
transportation and dark skies, help me connect those dots.
This is the street lamps again.
Okay.
About when Nordic Valley does some improvements, they may want to add an additional lane on 35th East.
A bus lane.
For buses.
On 3300?
So the technical committee decided, since that was contingent on an expansion at the ski resort, that it wasn't something that necessarily should be prioritized at this point. It's not a need until the ski resort expands.
Help me understand the need even after it expands for a bus lane.
Oh, and they can do their own traffic studies as a private entity on capacity changes.
We don't want buses to be with cars?
Well, they were saying, this guy was saying that the resort would expand so much that there would be so many buses that were coming that it would be like almost impossible to get up there in a private vehicle because of the bus stacking.
So if they're non-motorized buses, they'll be okay.
Just tell them to ride the gondola from North Ogden and everything will be fine.
But yeah, likewise, I mean, it might be worth just waiting.
I thought that died. Is that back to get, is that coming back?
It's part of the development plan.
Don't you read the Standard Examiner?
I do not. When I got on the council, I had to quit taking newspapers.
So
you missed the article where I say, we don't know, we haven't received any applications or had any conversations.
Yeah, nothing is approved at this point. So that was, since it was contingent on a private entity's ability to expand a private resort, that we would not prioritize that above already approved and in process projects.
Likewise, going back to that comment on the summary, the small valley shuttle, for you guys, is that something you're interested in thinking about further?
Yeah, I've talked to UDOT a little bit about it. I mean, Eddie Cummins is saying we're already UTA, yeah, he's saying we're already under enough pressure, don't ask us to run empty buses.
Okay.
And it's so seasonal that if it's something that's done, I can't imagine it's done by anyone other than the county. Maybe AL&L, but I doubt it's going to be something that Forest Service is going to be interested in putting in their contract, or their, sorry, what is it called?
Permit.
And so maybe the local park district picks something like that up. It's just the maintenance, operation and maintenance of it, I think is, it's beyond anyone's ability right now.
Okay. So those are the other ideas, and then support for ideas we already had that came from the open houses.
So that can kind of tell you how you... They might have backed into these percentages and how that compares to what the technical committee rated it.
So, yeah, like Holland said, going back to the last page, the criteria reading, do you feel for each one of your individual entities that this is an appropriate weighing? Or do you see, like Charlie, you were mentioning, or sorry, maybe John was mentioning to stick with the technical committee Wayne and Ogden Valley.
One of the reasons why I marked maintenance and corridor preservation as zero is because it's a given. It's going to happen. It has to happen. If our economic development plan of recreational access is going to be a thing. Maybe that should be weighted higher than zero, but I don't think it's the highest priority of the Valley residents.
So, you know, the other day when I looked through all of those funding, the grants and stuff like that, there's hardly anything that would qualify for maintenance. So that's another thought, is we're talking about prioritizing projects that...
Well, part of that's prioritizing projects based on...
If like, it helps or...
Yeah, like when helps. We do it in for the long-range plan, we look at pavement condition and bridge condition. And for those roads that have worse pavement or worse bridge conditions, we'll rank them higher.
So it goes both ways.
So this is kind of a secondary ranking to
ultimately,
other kinds
safety
of projects.
Wins. And that's how it was ranked on both, right?
You mean on both?
Both counties.
Yeah.
Safety was, so whatever the...
So it's not about the project being a maintenance project, but it's about looking at, like, can we time that maintenance need with the project?
Right.
So going back to Weber County, using only the technical score versus the average.
Well, I just think the technical is more accurate, but you could go between the two or something. But I just think people got confused on your corridor preservation thing. If that's make sure this corridor through here is preserved maintenance-wise, I don't think they care about that. they want views and they want safety and all that. So I'm just more, I would have put zero there too.
We could do like 30.
Maybe it's 10 like or something, I don't know.
Yeah. 10, 5, 10, 20, 30 or something. I guess it'd be 35, 5, 10, 20, 30.
Five.
If you wanted to do something with the maintenance.
Safely provide access to recreation.
City group.
Why don't we adjust the 15 on the maintenance and the access to recreation? Maybe swap some of the importance there.
Okay.
Maybe it's 10 for maintenance and 15 for access to recreation. That's the those are the only two that are concerning to me. I mean, provide access to jobs and business. Hall and I are kind of thinking a little differently than the people who live there, I think, for obvious reasons.
Okay. So, yeah, we can do 30, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. 10. 10, 10, 15, 25.
Okay.
Okay. And then Morgan, you're good with...
So talk to me about improved safety. What were these... Tell me what the technical committee was talking about on that.
So the way that we did the scores, I asked them to compare the goals between each other to do a pairwise comparison, and then that would give us a weighing. And so the safety, we would look at where there's already high crash locations that were sort of above the rest of the county. And then those projects that would help address those needs would get more points.
It was also just kind of that same thing that if, of all the priorities, if you're gonna do any road project, that safety should be a top.
Because mm-hmm. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah,
because I'm looking at that discrepancy between them and the public, and I think the public's like me. There's not a lot of crashes. There's not a lot of safety issues outside of pedestrians and or bicyclists on the road, and mm-hmm. some people are concerned about that safety issue. But and so I can see why the public was so much lower, because they're looking at a technical standpoint versus... Oh, let's see. Which is the dangerous intersection that I drive through? There isn't one.
Right.
Yeah, and it is a viewpoint thing. So, like the Yonge Street Bridge. You know, when I applied for that, it was all proposed as a safety issue because there's no egress from the school, and on a daily basis, the public isn't thinking it's because people are getting injured. They just want better access.
Convenience. Mm-hmm. Convenience. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you. You look at the exact same thing, but it's like, is this, and when you rank them, we're going to go through that same challenge. Is this improved safety, or is it one or the other? Does it, and most
you're both
projects
looking
are going
for the
to,
same end result, but you have yeah. one way of approaching it, and they have a different viewpoint of it.
Yeah, but I think the thought was is not to make sure that it is a priority so that whatever the project is, it's enhancing safety in some manner. But that's kind of the government mentality going yeah. into it, not. Yeah.
So then I'm fine with that, leaving that with the
and
average. How you
yeah, and I can't imagine very many projects not
yeah, that's standard.
Whether you widen or you, mm-hmm. it's
looks like it's pretty even on maintenance and corridor preservation. The rest of them, safely accommodate active transportation. And active transportation is different.
Bicycle and pedestrian.
Okay. And there again, it comes back to the idea that if we put a bike lane in, all of our bike problems will go away. Yeah, the access to recreation, I agree with what was said earlier. 10. Well, yeah, leave it at 10, just because it's got to be something that we're constantly looking at. I just don't know that we've got an affordable solution.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No silver bullet.
Yeah.
I don't think for either valley.
I mean, Charlie's been here. I mean, you drive up Morgan Valley Drive and up Highway 66, and some of those houses are,
yeah.
you'd be taking out front steps in order to put this land.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So ours, whether it's combined or it's our Morgan County, it follows almost the exact same pattern other than the end transportation.
All Right. So we had discussed earlier keeping them separate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's mostly just for that end.
Okay, so we're good.
The last two.
Morgan last and then two. And Ogden will change the maintenance to 10 and the access to recreation to 15. Okay.
I'm also just trying to think of that last one because when it comes time to put in projects, really all it just depends on the project. And if we don't propose one, it's really not going to matter. So if we don't ever propose a bike lane,
it will never.
The criteria becomes a point because it has the project proposals will still have to come from the entity.
So then does the weighting, is it better if you adjust that?
You know what I'm saying? So it's
turn it down from 10 to 5?
Because all of the others, it seems like it's either going to be one or the other type of project. And so if the county's not pushing for a bike lane, then the criteria doesn't matter that much. Right?
That's a good point.
That probably, does that even make sense?
I don't quite follow you, but it seems like everyone else does, so it's probably just...
unless I misunderstand.
So like when...
just laugh and pretend like you got the joke.
You're saying that if the county's not actively going after it, why is it a higher priority on this?
Well, priority at all.
I guess, so I'm just, before we just separate and go the opposite direction, I'm just kind of looping back and saying, even if we had the same criteria, but we're not proposing those type of projects, it's not gonna, just make sure the end result isn't any different.
But you are proposing those types of projects. But also
but we're not applying, right? So our projects might all be ranked, but that doesn't mean that, like if the county becomes an applicant,
mm-hmm.
To any source of funding, it has to come through their political subdivision.
Right.
And if they, even if it's on a list,
right,
so you might have a top priority, but they say, well, that's not the one we want. What we want is down here, or the one we can afford is down here. Not always does the priority get funded from the top down. Or
right, but hopefully, we shouldn't come up with project. A plan that the county then says, this isn't our priority and we're not going to do it. You know what I mean? So like the projects that are the county's projects should be prioritized in the order the county wants them at the end of the day. And if that's not true, if they say the top five aren't our priorities, then
I can tell you after you came and did that presentation, two or three council members came up after and said, why are bike lanes even on there? We've had this discussion 100 times. And I said, just because we're going to leave them on there to go to the public with it. And so they did, but to speak to what Ty's talking about, it's that low of a priority.
Yeah, and like I said to Commissioner, council member
Meekum?
Yeah. In the council meeting, I mean, this is a 30-year plan, so although it might not be a priority for the current administration in the next 5 or 10 years, you know, it may be.
I could see it being something that's on there to be discussed at any new roads, but the only new roads that I see coming in between now and 2040 is UDOT roads.
Which, well, if you expand,
but if it's on there, maybe we can make that a point to UDOT to add those to their roads, type things. And,
okay. That was just for discussion's sake. You don't have to listen to any of it or understand. I feel better, so that's all I wanted was to feel better about.
So that was all I wanted to get through today, just to let you guys know what was happening and then agree on this weighing. So in the next meeting, we'll have a more, like the project list will be more fleshed out. Hopefully we'll have project costs. And I'm hoping to meet with the technical committee beforehand and talk about the actual measures that we're using to rank the projects, the evaluation criteria. And then by then it's September, so I'm hoping that the UDOT travel model is done and then we can talk about anything that comes out of that and how we can use that to inform this process. And then there'll be no meeting in October. Okay. I always have a standing agenda item about other business and updates on related studies. If there's anything that's going on in the counties or locals that you guys want to update us on, any funding that you've received or...
Wayfinding. We've got a draft RFP out. We want it to be published by the end of next week for a new wayfinding plan. We got 80 grand to go into it, and we're hoping for another 80 grand to build it in the new year.
And that's wayfinding on the pathways, or
that's wayfinding for all modes of transportation, including active and recreation, or whatever the consultant proposes that we like.
Is there anything else going on in Morgan? New developments, or
so I told you about Lost Creek.
Mm-hmm.
The Croydon Bridge or Lost Creek Bridge. The engineering company has been selected. UDOT has moved that project up from starting in October to we started it in June. So that engineering company has been selected and the engineering has begun on that project. So we will move that up from about 2000. There's going to be a, I can't remember now, what a 2020 build. To a 2019 build.
And what are they doing to the bridge exactly?
Tearing it out and replacing it. The Peterson Railroad Bridge is, we've also received the grant money for that, and that will start next year. That'll be a 2019 project.
You're putting bike lanes on it?
What's that?
I said, are you putting bike lanes on it?
Bikers will not be able to go across that. No, they will be open.
The bike jump.
Stoddard Lane is, the Stoddard Lane Bridge will be demolished. That project will start mid-September for demolition mid-October, and that Stoddard Lane will be closed down and that bridge will be replaced this winter. Nothing major, and
a lot of stuff.
Mike quits us and leaves, and
Mike left.
Yeah,
a couple months ago.
Jerk.
I think they're back in May or June.
Whoa.
Yeah, June.
That's gonna say, do you have a replacement?
If I can get one more email with their vote, I think we have somebody to make an offer to.
Okay.
We interviewed on Monday, so
getting close.
Getting close.
Where did Mike go?
Private contractor.
Wow.
He has a sugar daddy that's giving him a bunch of money, and he's just building that guy's projects for him.
I got to make some phone calls then.
Yeah. Yeah, he quit in June.
He's doing that old barn with the sunken floor.
He's got, he just finished 5 spec homes. He's got a 25 lot subdivision. 200 unit storage units, and then they're bidding on some other projects.
Wow, good for him. Where is he mostly working?
Down in Davis okay. County, Syracuse area. That's okay. Where they're kind of focusing, Syracuse, Clearfield.
Cool, good for him.
He's busy as crap already.
Wow.
And he doesn't have to ever get those nasty phone calls anymore. Well, he's getting
from working.
They're just not coming from everybody in town. They're just coming from owners. So. But yeah,
I'll call him. Give him a few complaints.
Projects.
Yeah. Just coming from the public works director.
That's right.
And are there any new developments coming in, or like?
There's and this is all off the record.
No, oh, wait. Turn that off.
We've just been hearing rumors. You know, we don't know anything for a fact, but we were told that the Mount Green Town Center sold today.
Oh.
And so Johnson's are out of it. If that is just right now, it's still rumor. I don't know if it's true, but we got a phone call this morning saying that Johnson's were talking about how they're so glad to be out from under that. And it's sold. So we'll see. But as far as new developments, nothing has been proposed. We did meet with Wasatch Peaks yesterday, and they are about 8 weeks behind schedule, so they were going to close on that purchase next week. And now it's looking like first week of October before they close on it. So they won't present their plan until after that. And so that's now been bumped from a September, late August, early September development agreement proposal to December.
Okay.
Because of the holiday and different conflicts they had. They've bumped that now to December, where originally, well, and I think it's still their hope, they want to break ground on Wasatch Peaks as soon as they can get on site in the spring. They're that anxious to move.
It's still going to be like the small luxury home. I mean,
yeah. So
few luxury homes.
For their fiscal analysis, they're planning 450 homes or residential units, not necessarily all standalone homes. When I asked, define condominium, because you know condominiums can be lots of different things, because they do have condominiums in their plan. They said 5,000 to 8,000 square foot, two unit attached housing. That's their idea of a condominium.
Wow.
5,000 to 8,000 square foot, no more than two units attached at a time.
This is definitely not going to work for moderate income housing.
No.
Like what's his name did, Chris Nielsen or whatever his name was.
They indicated that their break even point would be far under 450. So they're paying somewhere in the neighborhood of $39 million for that property, plus the cost of development and the cost of a team of 15 attorneys, I think Becky said, just trying to close the deal. That's just their half of it. She said that the others have theirs, that amount too, that they're paying to do this deal. And their break-even point is far under 450 units, so that tells you how much they're going to charge.
Yeah, wow.
And that includes a ski resort and a golf course.
Wow, that's cool, very cool.
So this is, in fact, they indicated that they would prefer, their clientele does not like the Hollywood type coming around. So these are the money people without Hollywood being involved. So this isn't somebody that made a movie, made it big, got a lot of money, went and bought a house.
Right.
These are people that they said, when one of the members of the committee said, they made the comment, so is this going to be a lot of second homes? And they just chuckled and said, maybe third and fourth homes. Most of these guys already have their second homes.
Your airport's about to get busy.
Yes, I heard it.
Yeah,
Morgan's about to boom.
Yeah, the Morgan's about to boom.
We're right on the verge.
Almost
I think the airport's going to become popular here.
They don't need to put a commercial.
No.
Unless they're putting in a landing strip up, but that's part of the master
plan. No, they haven't talked about it, but that wouldn't surprise me with the kind of things that they're talking about. And they're doing it all on the back of that first ridge, so it's all going to be down in that bowl. It'll almost be invisible to the community. We won't be able to see it. You'll see the ski resort, obviously. But the golf course and most of the housing will be down. As you get in the canyon, well, coming down off Trapper's Loop, you'll be able to see up into that bowl right there. You'll be able to see it into it from there, but most of the public will never be able to even see what's up there.
We have to let us know when lots go on sale, because, you know, knowing this group,
yeah,
we'll want to jump on it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe your father-in-law.
Cool, I'll put it.
Yeah.
Alright, so, do you guys want to close out the meeting?
Charlie, would you say the prayer?
He's struck by lightning.
I nominate,
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Third.